David Shearer, welcome to Newsworks tonight.
Pleasure to be here.
So you're based in Newark, and your specialty has been advocating for an equal and adequate education for all New Jersey students, especially the poor. When you look across the Delaware River at Pennsylvania and specifically Philadelphia, what do you see?
Well, I think the main thing you see is disparity. You see kind of the way New Jersey was 20 years ago, which is you have very well-funded suburban districts that have low levels of student need, not that many poor kids, very few kids who need English language instruction, kids with disabilities, have substantial resources because they can raise a lot of money off the property tax, high-performing districts, alongside Philadelphia, which is, obviously has a substantial number of needy kids that need to be served, an older infrastructure. Its fiscal capacity to raise more money off the property tax is limited, high taxes in the city, and also low educational performance levels. So what I think the main defining feature of public education in the southeastern Pennsylvania region is the tremendous disparity both in educational resources, opportunities, and actually outcomes between your high-wealth suburban communities and your urban areas. And that's what we had in New Jersey for a long time.
So what happened? What changed?
Well, I think what happened, it was a commitment. It took a long time, a lot of struggle, interventions from the court. We had governors that finally stepped up to the plate and legislatures that got involved to try to make sure that even though we have a lot of segregation in our school system, right? So we have a lot of urban districts that are very poor, lots of minority kids, low wealth, high need, lower performing alongside high performing suburbs. What we've been doing for the last 20 years is trying to provide the kids in the poor communities adequate educational opportunities. And we've done it through increasing funding. That's been a big part of it, which is the big problem here. We've created a strong funding base for our cities and our higher need districts. The other thing we've done is we've put in one of the best preschool programs in the United States. That also came about by court order, so that now if you live in Camden, if you live in Trenton, Newark, Patterson, our cities, Bridgeton, Vineland, Millville, all 3- and 4-year-olds are eligible to attend a well-planned, high-quality preschool program. That has made an enormous difference. And we've worked on trying to fix up the school buildings so that they're safe and adequate. And also we've worked on trying to make sure that districts are using their resources effectively to improve student achievement. So it's a combination of efforts over what I would say is the last 20 to 25 years that have helped create more adequate and equal educational opportunities for kids in our poorer communities.
You say that the preschool option has made a tremendous difference. Is there proof there? Has it been long enough that that's been in existence?
And what we're seeing now is we have the program was started really in about 2001. It's been in place since then, and it's been an incremental implementation process. But we now have 45,000 kids in our cities, 3- and 4-year-olds in our cities, in the program. It's full day. It's full school year, class size of 15, certified teacher, and everything is linked to what goes on in kindergarten and in the early grades in the public schools. The program is great also because it utilizes existing Head Start and community-based programs, daycare centers that have been upgraded to provide high-quality early education opportunities alongside public school classrooms. So it's a mixed delivery system. And the results of that have been pretty extraordinary. We've seen academic performance being boosted now. There's a study that's taken kids up to the 4th and 5th grade who've gotten both years of the program. They perform better academically, lower special education classification rates, which is a huge problem. It holds down costs, keeps kids out of special education, less grade retention, and just better overall educational success. So the early results of this program, following these kids into the 3rd, 4th grade, are really showing tremendous dividends and benefits.
Let's just talk about this funding formula. You hear advocates in Philadelphia especially calling for it from the state. Is New Jersey a model for Pennsylvania in this regard?
I think New Jersey's formula is a model for the nation. It's formula, the way we did it. I mean, it took a long time to do it, and it also was in response to court order. But in 2008, we adopted what's called a weighted student funding formula. And what that means is that we took the time to figure out what are the costs, what is it going to cost to get all students, to give all students the opportunity to have an education where they can achieve state standards. So, we have state tests just like Pennsylvania, high school tests, you have to pass those tests. the state determines proficiency levels on those tests. So the question is, what's the cost of the resources to get kids to meet those standards? We did a lot of work on costing out. We also built in extra costs for kids that have additional needs. So if you're a low-income child, if you're a low-income child in a poor school, if you're an English language learner, children with disability, there are extra resources or funding built into the formula to make sure that those extra interventions, such as tutoring, more time on task, extended learning, those sorts of things, are built into the formula.
The idea is kind of like the state says, this is what we're going to hold you accountable to. So, you know, advocates like you say, okay, well, let's find out exactly how much that's actually going to cost to get done.
That's right.
And provide that funding.
And that's what we did. So it's a very simple proposition. Any business person will understand it. If you're going to deliver a product and you're going to run a business, you have to have a cost structure that's going to support producing that product, right? So it's the same thing here. If the state is going to, which New Jersey and Pennsylvania are doing now, you know, telling local school districts, here are the standards you have to meet. Here's the curriculum content you have to have. Here's the performance levels your students have to meet. We're going to hold the kids accountable for meeting that. We're going to hold schools and districts accountable for that kind of performance. The state also has to have a formula that's connected to the actual cost of delivering that. That's what New Jersey has done. Pennsylvania did it in 2007. They actually did a pretty good job of doing this and enacting that formula. It was in place for a year or two, and then it's been taken off the shelf. So, you know, Pennsylvania actually moved in this direction. But unfortunately, when Governor Corbett came in, basically the formula was set aside. And we're now back in Pennsylvania to really funding schools based entirely on political considerations in terms of what the folks in Harrisburg want to spend, not on what students need across the state, whether you're in a rural district, an urban district, or a suburban district, what those kids need in order to meet the state's own academic standards.
So when you see this budget crisis that's been going from spring to summer to now into the school year, that's what's to blame. It's this funding formula?
Yes. I mean, the state has to put in place a stable, predictable, and adequate method of funding public education, or else Pennsylvania and Philadelphia and the other high-need districts across the state, the other cities and rural districts across the state, are going to be in constant state of crisis, and they're not going to be able to get the kids to the performance levels that the state really needs them to be at. So what the state has got to do is it's got to either go back to that 2007 formula and update it, or do a new formula if folks don't think that formula was done well, bring in experts, get educators involved, figure out what it's going to take to meet funding it's going to take to meet Pennsylvania standards, and put that formula into place. And you have to keep it in place and fund it every year in the budget. That's the challenge. The formula is a way of calculating how much funding students should have. But if the legislature in the annual budget doesn't appropriate the money based on those calculations, then it's meaningless. So it's a really two-step process. Pennsylvania needs a fair, predictable, stable funding mechanism that's built on actual costs. And secondly, they need the political will among the legislature and the governor from year to year to make sure that the additional costs that are built into that formula are actually funded through additional state aid.
But then the big question is, how does the state pay for it? And in Jersey, there's a wealthier tax base, right? And there's a much higher cost of property taxes. Does that allow New Jersey to accomplish things that Pennsylvania can't?
Well, I think the issue is Pennsylvania is going to have to raise more state aid for public education. The state's going to have to do that, either through increases in the income tax or broad-based taxes. There's no question that it's going to have to do that. If the formula that had been put in place in Pennsylvania in 2007 had been fully implemented over the five-year period, it was going to cost an additional several billion dollars of state aid. That's number one. Number two, though, that aid has to be targeted to the districts where the need is greatest. These are the high poverty, low wealth, poor communities, the communities that simply are tapped out in terms of what they can raise off the property tax. So it's a combination of making sure that enough state aid is in the system, but that aid is directed to communities that just simply can't raise enough off the local property tax. You know, obviously cities like Philadelphia, but also places like, you know, Scranton, Allentown, you know, Lancaster, communities like that, rural communities. So it's that combination. You know, the suburbs are able to raise a lot of money off the property tax because they have a lot of property wealth. That's fine. No one's objecting to that. But what the state needs to do through its system is make sure that It's really ensuring that kids in the Philadelphia public school system or in the Allentown public school system have the additional state aid that can't really be raised off the local tax base to fund that high-quality education. So that's what the formula has to do, and that's really what the state has got to come to terms with, or else, frankly, this budget crisis from year to year is just going to continue, and it really does a disservice to the children of Pennsylvania.
But when we have that conversation, we're really talking about raising taxes for state.
Right, and but keep in mind, this is no one expects that this is going to happen in 1 year. So you have to have political courage. You know, the governor's got to have some political courage here. The legislature's got to step up to the plate and put in place a formula. It can be phased in. The last formula was a five-year phase-in because they knew we weren't going to be able to do it in 1 year. So it's going to have to be incremental, but the formula has to be put in place to guide the budgetary decisions. And then you've got to have legislators who understand that it is vitally important to the future of the economy of Pennsylvania, of its the health of its communities, the vitality of its democracy, to have a well-educated citizenry. And so it has to commit itself to making those additional state investments over time and making sure that it stays on track. Because, you know, without an educational system where local educators can rely on a stable, predictable, adequate level of funding from year to year, they simply can't make the improvements in instruction. They can't meet the higher standards that are now expected of them. They can't bring in these college and career-ready programs that everybody wants them to do, particularly in our poorest communities.
New Jersey voters just reelected Governor Chris Christie to a second term. What implications does this have for education issues in the state moving forward?
Well, I hope it's not another 4 years of what we had under him, which is a refusal to fully fund our formula, which is really now creating a lot of stress in school districts across the state. Districts like Pennsauk and places like that that have tremendous amounts of student need have not gotten the funding that they're entitled to get under the formula. So I hope it doesn't mean that. And the other thing that he's refused to do, which would actually be probably the single thing that would improve outcomes for poor kids and kids and African-American students and Latino students across the state, would be to expand our preschool program, which is required by law, should have been done this year. We should have completed it this year, but to start the expansion of our preschool program out statewide. We were supposed to by now have full-day preschool for every child, for example, in Pennsauken. They have it in Camden, but just across the border in Pennsauken, they don't. They need it. They have a 68% student poverty rate. They need that kind of program. The governor has refused to do that. So we'll see. I mean, a lot of it has been, you know, what we've had in the first year is there's been a lot of effort to push back on what I would call Governor Christie's agenda of disinvesting in public education. There's been a lot of success in keeping him from making deep cuts. But we have to shift now. We've got to really push the legislature and the governor to move to what I would call an investment-oriented agenda, making sure our schools are adequately funded, getting preschool expanded, building in a lot of supports for teachers and staff, and particularly in our highest need communities. We need to kind of recommit ourselves to doing that. So we'll see.
And to the people who say that New Jersey can't afford the funding formula it has now and that Pennsylvania couldn't afford to adopt one, what do you say?
We can't afford not to do it, is what I would say. I mean, we either are going to invest in our children and invest in the workforce and the informed citizenry that we're going to have in the 21st century, you know, for our economy, for the health of our communities. We cannot afford not to make these investments. And again, these are investments that are going to need to be made not in 1 year, but over a period of years. So we're going to need politicians who can look towards the long term and see that this investment-oriented strategy, both in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, is not only good for their respective states and the future of their states, but frankly, for the entire region.
Well, David Shearer, thank you so much for coming on NewsWorks tonight.
Pleasure to be here.